Log Talk Radio.
Hey there, everybody. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Dave. This is Rebooting the News number 73.
Oh, there it is. Wait, do you hear it?
Wait.
The latest.
Is that really dramatic or what?
Jailbroken theme song.
It took a little while, but there you have it. Is that dramatic enough?
You know, I have a student in my class who composes music and is willing to do a theme song.
Is he as good as this?
Well, I can't guarantee that.
Because this is pretty damn good.
Welcome, listeners, to Rebooting the News number 73.
73.
And my podcast partner, Dave Weiner, and I are here, and we're ready to reboot some apps.
Not quite.
Some news.
Not quite. No, thank you. That was very good. Jay, very good. But we're not quite ready yet.
Oh, we're not?
Did you bring any whiskey with you?
No.
No. That's a reference to Jay's late night excursions into video land.
I'm starting
However,
something new.
You did bring coffee.
Yes.
And you did not bring me any.
Right.
Well,
we'll get to the videos later.
Okay.
Let's kick off with this.
No, let's kick ass.
Yeah, let's kick some rebooted ass. Let's kick off with this post that Robert Scoble ran at his blog.
Scobalizer.
Okay.
Scobalizer.
The Scobalizer.
Scobalizer.com.
I had occasion to refer to him in an NPR discussion that we should also mention, but his post is called, Is the Tech Press Needed Anymore? And when I saw that headline, I had to click on it and find out what he was talking about.
because it's an obvious rebooting the news topic, right?
Yes. It overlaps with several.
It was your professional responsibility.
It was my professional responsibility to check out what he was saying. And most of the post was about
something that had nothing to do with that.
Something that had nothing to do with that.
I noticed that myself, as is often the case with
Which was
Scoble. He's
so
really good with the headlines, because that headline will not just get you to click on it. You know who else it gets to click on it? The
who
tech
else?
Press.
Yeah, the tech press itself.
Which is who
right.
he's really wanting to get the link from.
So it's all about how news gets around about Android and other operating systems for the phone, and how people are just developing for the iPhone and they're kind of leaving Android in the dust, and it's all these little tidbits and items of commentary from various players in the tech world. And then around about three-fifths of the way through the post, he gets to our question, which is, what's up with this headline?
He does actually say that.
Yeah.
I know so far I haven't given you a clue as to what I mean
right.
by the headline.
Right. So he says that I'm noticing lots of app developers are seeing huge adoptions without being pushed anywhere but on Apple's iTunes App Store.
And this really gets your
Now, that really interested me.
You took a sip of scotch before you even thought about that one.
My scotch doesn't start until like 10 o'clock at
night. All right.
So now I see what he's saying. What he's saying is that people are able to get news about their apps out and push them and get promoted without the tech press. But what he's really saying is that this was always the job of the tech press, to promote products. And that's like
that's not
a paltry.
You don't teach this at NYU journalism school, do you?
No. We don't
this isn't like journalism 101.
The press.
Your job is to sell their products.
No. And so what he means when he says is do we need the tech press anymore is don't we have other ways to sell products? So now I know that you've been trying to tell me this about the tech press for a long time.
I did grin from ear to ear when I saw your comment.
But until I hear it from Scoble, man,
it doesn't sink
why
in.
Should I believe it?
I feel vindicated now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then a bunch of angry tech press bloggers and tech press people, you know,
were highly relevant.
Messaged me over Twitter, like, well, you know, consider the source, you know, nasty things.
Well, that's not nice, because Scoble actually is a user. That's what I like about Scoble. At his best, he he comes at these things as a user would. And yeah. So he has a certain innocence that the, you know, the, although he's lately become what you would call the Church of the Savvy, and, you know, insider's insider. And at his core, though, he's still a user. So I think that he's all right.
But, you know, the point is a good one in that we don't really need reviews from tech press insiders, because as soon as the product gets to customers, they give their reviews, and we can look at those, and they're really just as good.
Well, I've been saying this here on this show for ages, that, you know, you get the first round, and I think Apple has tuned into this. I think that the disconnect came for Apple. You can almost see them turning. I mean, you know, we're not privy to their internal discussions, but they were very unhappy with that whole iPhone gate thing, you know, the antenna gate thing, right?
Right.
And they blamed the press for that. They were very clear about that. Mm-hmm. They said, this is the press's fault. You guys have blown this out of proportion. And since then, and, you know, my complaint was that they would always give their products to Walt Mossberg, David Pogue, whoever else. Very small number of people from the old mainstream media.
Right.
You know, and that would serve for them as their, you know, seeding of the product, and that was their marketing. And, and, you know, I don't think that those guys really ever criticized Apple's products. I mean, they would always say, this is a game changer, this is wonderful, this will, you know, revolutionize everything. And then they would find a couple of things that were wrong with it, that so that they would, you know, so that they could have some self-respect, I think. And that all changed sometime this year when they did something rather remarkable, is that they started doing real-time webcasts of their Steve Notes, of, you know, when Steve Jobs would get up. And so now that's a
That used to be a press event itself, right? With
yes, that was exclusive. That
was,
was for the second-tier press guys.
Right.
Markoff, Mossberger, Pogue. They didn't have to go to those things because they were seated. They got to sit down. Stephen Levy, they got to sit down with Steve Jobs all by themselves, you know, 5 weeks before everybody else did. But then the second tier would go in there and get their exclusive hands-on, and then we would all read what they wrote. And then this is what I would say was, forget about what those guys wrote. Wait another 5 weeks after it's been in the user's hands, and then we'll tell you the real story.
Right.
Then we'll tell you, because we don't have anything to lose. We're not expecting to be invited back to any of these things, because we weren't invited in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, that's when you really find out. So what Scoble is saying, obviously true, and also Apple's tuned into it. The end conclusion of his piece was the most depressing thing of them all, though, was he said, ironically, the people, the developers tell me they still like to get press reviews. Why?
Right.
Because the Apple people read them. And that's how they decide whether or not to let you in. It's like, oh, my God, this is what's become of the world, you know. Yeah. This, I think, is a really wonderful segue to the TSA story, if you want.
Yeah.
Speaking
Man.
Of living inside
now,
somebody else's world.
Did we call it or what?
No, I think you called it. I think you get the points for this one. I mean, I didn't disagree with you, but it
I
was
knew
your
this
call.
Thing was going to get huge, and it got way huger than when we talked about it last week.
Yep. And in exactly the way you hoped it would, right?
Yeah, it just tore across.
Well, first it started in the blogosphere
on Twitter.
And then you pointed to USA Today had the piece. That was the first sign that they were willing to pick up not a viral video. This is the difference. It wasn't, you know, some guy singing about chocolate rain. Right. It was a news story that had gone viral that they picked up. Now this is clearly, we're in the realm of rebooted news at this point.
Totally.
Right.
And then they began to pressure the government, and then the government's statements about it made further news.
And Hillary Clinton grabbed the...
Hillary Clinton,
today.
Got in the act.
Oh,
and then more travelers began to report their experiences, right?
Yep.
And then, like, a second round of experience reports hit the press, increasing the pressure. Meanwhile, TSA played right into the story's hands by being absolutely arrogant, deaf, and...
anti-democratic.
I mean, completely.
The people have nothing to say with this.
Right. What people were saying was completely irrelevant to the TSA. We won't change course no matter what.
Then there were some experiments where people tried stripping for them.
Yeah.
That didn't work. They got arrested.
And then there's this big protest building for Wednesday.
Is that right? Everybody goes naked? Is that what
happened? No, it's opt-out day. It's opt-out. Like they're asking everyone to sort of refuse to go through.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought not fly because that I could participate
That too,
in.
Yeah. I think
I'm not flying on Wednesday. Let me get that out there.
I'm not either. Yeah. Anyway, it's huge. And so one of my tweets also went viral. I rarely get more than 100 retweets on a single post.
Try saying that five times
fast.
Yeah,
retweets.
100 retweets.
Retweets on a single post. If it doesn't have some kind of link in it that's, like, you know, newsworthy. And this was simply an observation I made. And the observation was, name me a story that has found more common ground among the left, the right, and libertarians. You can't. The TSA has talent. Because who has been able to unite the country politically in the last 20 years like this? And in the political blogosphere, you could see it. You had Fire Dog Lake, one of the most fiery left-wing blogs. RedState.com, right? Which is one of the most fiery right-wing blogs. And for the libertarians, it's an open and shut, you know, case.
Yeah,
the overreach of the government is like their bread and butter.
Ron Paul was on.
Yeah,
the
Ron Paul, system. Right? Yeah. And I can't think of any story that has done that recently.
You know, something's bothering me because I found one where, you know, the little green footballs.
Yes,
I quoted them to a Tea Party dude that was arguing with me on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it totally shut him up because I found that I agreed with the Tea Party, not with the Tea Party guy, but with
Little Green Football. That blog is an evolution.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe it's not
become a dissenter to right-wing orthodoxy.
Because they were like the most virulent, they were crazy in the,
at one time, yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Because
there was one story that happened in the last couple of weeks that was very satisfying to see them.
Charles Johnson, a while ago, this is more over a year old, the creator of Little Green Footballs, has been moving away from right-wing orthodoxy and getting really angry about some of the stupidity he sees.
There is
the
some
right.
incredible stupidity out there. I mean, this isn't even on our list. I want to just briefly mention this. The Krugman column for today, Paul Krugman's column.
I did not see it
today.
You
didn't see it?
No,
it was. He quoted former Senator Alan Simpson as saying there was going to be a bloodbath in April when the debt ceiling had to be revoted
right.
by Congress.
Yeah.
And what he was saying was that, talk about Church of the Savvy inside football type stuff. This is the most inside you can get. And what they're going to do is they're going to hold that hostage in the
mm-hmm.
House.
Right.
And they're going to be wanting concessions from the government, from Obama and from the Senate, in return, like, canceling healthcare reform. And he's on the record saying it. And meanwhile, you don't hear the only voice that's saying anything about this is Krugman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's an opening for CNN to be relevant. You know, the voice from nowhere can now be outraged about something. I mean, I thought your point, by the way, about, defining Fox News was very,
we'll get to that.
Insightful, yeah. CNN is rage-deprived, basically. They don't have that ability. But
they won't do it.
But they actually could do it.
They could, but
they
won't.
They could do it with real stories that really are enraging, like this one. Because Krugman's conclusion was, this country can only be governed one way, with a Republican presidency and Republican Congress. And any other way, they will stop the governing of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very depressing situation.
Well, the left blogosphere is trying to get this to the attention of the mainstream press with the term sabotage, because that's what they're talking about. They're going to sabotage the recovery, sabotage the government if they don't get
their
way.
Well, clearly is what they're doing. They will let the country, they will try to drive the country deeper into a hole in order to win the next election.
Right.
What the hell are they? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to change.
It's not?
No.
The press isn't going to change.
No.
You sure about that?
Totally.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, next topic.
Well, I did my second late night with Press Think video on Friday night, and
you were drinking a different form of scotch.
Yeah, so many people commented on my choice of Johnny.
Why do you think that is?
Well, you know,
I think somebody ought to do a dissertation about this.
I introduced the scotch as sort of a little funny, amusing, personality-driven, you know, thing.
So and it was really, you really thought this through. It wasn't like just spur of the moment. That was did you hire a marketing?
No, but I don't.
A marketing consultant.
Like
did you have?
Oh, good. Pour it out.
Well, you know, that's my job.
Yeah.
It says it's
actually,
my
he
job
was just
title.
Waiting right off screen. He was directing me.
Is
no.
Did they go for the glare in the eyes too? Is that part of the deal?
No, that was just incompetence.
Okay.
I kind of solved that problem with all these. But about 20% of the comments were about how to reduce the glare on my glasses, and about 45% of the comments were about the scotch. So I changed the scotch up as a concession to my critics.
They didn't like your scotch.
No, because I was drinking a blend. If you know scotch.
I don't.
Okay. Well, all the names that are advertised on TV are all shitty scotches.
Like, really?
Yeah, they all suck. And the only real scotch for scotch drinkers are called single malt scotches, which are 40, 50, 60, more a bottle.
What are, like, some examples of...
Well, my favorite is Macallan.
Yeah?
But there's many, many examples. There's
maybe
like,
I'll buy a bottle of that stuff. Let's see.
Yeah,
maybe
you should.
Maybe then I'll do videos,
so
too.
I decided to switch to Macallan 12.
Which came first, Jay, the scotch or the videos?
It was the time of night that I did my video. That's why I had my scotch.
Got it.
So, but I knew that this was going to really annoy a lot of people. Because I jammed my class filled with ice.
That's not good.
That's not good. You're not supposed to drink it.
Any ice at all?
We could have a little bit of ice, but this was like literally over the top.
You know, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were going to get a lot of crap about that.
And I did. But that's not what the video was about. The video was about Fox News, and I'm not sure if I should continue to do these things or not. I'm not sure.
Oh, you're just dragging it out. Of course you should continue to do them.
Well, no, I'm...
Why wouldn't you
want
to do it?
Well, I'm worried that it would take away from my writing, that I would not write things. Instead, I'll talk them.
But you weren't writing very much before this anyway.
Well, I was. I was getting back into it. I was writing about twice a month. My 2,000, 3,000 word essays, which take a lot of time and take a lot of effort. So I'm a little concerned about that, and I don't want to do them unless they're really good. And I don't know if they're good enough yet. So I'll see. Maybe I'll do a couple more.
You know, I would do them when you have something to say.
Yeah.
And not another time.
Well, anyway. That might be the wisest advice. Where I think there has to be... The value is in the difference between talking and writing. I mean, there has to be something in listening to a person and watching a person explain his ideas, or it's just an affectation. So I haven't quite figured out in my mind, like, what is the dividend there?
Well, I think... The dividend is, as I said last week, is that for a smaller number of people, they actually really, your idea actually penetrates. It actually gets in.
And I hadn't thought of that. The idea that people watch it all the way through and they can't skim it, something I hadn't considered. So
I did not watch this one all the way through. I watched it, but most of the way, like three quarters of the way through.
All right.
And it wasn't anything you did. I just ran out of time and I had to go on to do the next thing. But it is. I will not spend that kind of time with one of your essays. It's not a lack of confidence in the quality of your essay. It's just the way I do one thing versus the other. I will save up one of these videos for a moment when I'm doing something that doesn't require my full brain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll put it over on the other monitor. Actually, you know, I sent you a link to, I don't remember what the name of it was. I'll find it, to a video product that was actually quite interesting. I'll find it. Okay, keep talking. I'll find it while you're talking.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have to get clearer in my mind why I would make a video as opposed to writing a post. And when I figure that out, I'll continue to make them. And as soon as I feel comfortable with the distinction, I'll kind of like be on the right track. So if there are any listeners who can help me make that distinction, we would appreciate
it. Where would they go to watch one of your videos?
PressThink. Or they...
PressThink.org.
Yeah. Or my channel at YouTube is called J. Rosen NYU with no underscore because YouTube doesn't allow that. But we'll see. I guess part of why I think I would go to video is when I want to express not only my ideas or constructions, but attitude, sensibility, and emotion.
Yep. It gives people a sense of, like, who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's a... You're talking to people, you know.
Right.
And people relate to other people. We're a social species.
Right.
And it's why, you know, you bother showing up.
It's less refracted, less abstract.
If it worked any other way, you wouldn't have to ever do a class. You would just assign the reading, and that would be the end of that. The site I was thinking of was tiltview.com, TiltVIEW.com.
Hmm.
It was very interesting. I'm going to learn more about it. What they do is they scrape various video sources on the web, and they produce something that you can display like on a second monitor, full screen, and it's like TV. It's like watching TV, news, and it has a fast forward thing and a rewind, and so their stories are sequenced, and you can click to the next story, the next story, and the next story, and like you don't need to have a cable news thing. And right off the bat, the first story they showed me was something off of MSNBC. That I hadn't seen, that I was never going to see, that was about, you know, George Bush. If George Bush goes to Europe, George Bush might get arrested for, right? And that was like, wow, I remember when he was president, they were talking about that.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the book tour. And what does this idea make you think of?
Checkbox News.
Checkbox News. Right. It's kind of the next evolution of it. Is
it about the ads?
There are no ads that I could see. I mean, you know, my immediate question, which they haven't answered yet, is like, okay, I want to see how this works. What's your algorithm? You know, how do you decide what to show me? And then, of course, I'm the kind of guy who wants more control. I've got my own feeds.
Right.
Will you let me program it? And this came up actually in another discussion about the, this is something that's on our list for today, the design challenge, the River of News.
Yes. Let's transition to that.
Right. I put out a thing on, I mean, I've been doing River of News aggregators for, you know, since, what, 1999, I guess, was the first one that I did. And it's a very, very simple idea. You read all the sources that you're subscribed to, all the feeds that you're subscribed to, and you display the new items in reverse chronological order. And so the newest item is at the top, the oldest item is at the bottom, and they scroll off the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you read this is you put your cursor in the right margin, and you hit the scroll bar, the thumb on the scroll bar, or the arrow if you want to go slower, and you just drag it down, and you skim with your eye. So you want news that is arranged in a way that skimming works best. So you don't want, and this is one of these, you know, there's this whole argument, you know, early on in the evolution of RSS was, well, should they be full text feeds or are summaries better? And everybody that was in sort of the savvy position assumed without even thinking about it that full text was better.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the sort of lone voice that said, no, I really prefer a well-crafted summary because that way I can just, that doesn't, you know, I can skim it.
Right.
And as I'm skimming, I can skim, you know, 100 pieces in, you know, a minute.
Right.
And people don't know this about their minds, okay? They don't know that their minds actually are capable of interpreting a lot more information as it scrolls by than they think it can. It's not a...
Because we read in clumps.
You know, if you say so. I don't really know the reason for it. It just is that way, is that I could scroll and then realize, wait a minute, way up there was a story I needed to see. Let me go back there.
Yeah.
Right? And how is my brain processing that? Yes, it is clumps.
Clumps of text.
Right, yeah. But there's a cue in there, and, you know, there are different things are running at a different time scale. And it turns out, you know, and this is why I'm very, very circumspect when a guy like Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook talks about only showing you the stuff that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like that. My brain's pretty good at processing huge amounts of material. And when, you know, it's great if you assume that they're benign, right? If you assume that Zuckerberg is really always trying to only show you the stuff that matters. Well, matters to who?
Right.
What matters to him is stuff that's going to get him more money.
Somebody tells me they're filtering, I want to know filtering how.
Exactly.
What is your program
for
filtering?
That's right. And everybody
sort of... Where does it come from?
So right now, until I have that answer, I'm going to go for unfiltered.
Yeah.
And I'll do the filtering, thank you very much.
Right.
So I want things arranged that way. So when I show people my river of news, what ends up happening is, okay, it looks like... Nobody ever says it doesn't work. They say, oh, that's really ugly. Can you make it more pretty?
Yes.
So, what I'm saying is, I'm throwing out a design challenge.
To all the designers of
please,
the world.
Please, make this pretty.
How do we make this
make
look
this so
attractive,
that, right, or
elegant?
Or so that people have choices. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, give me five different themes, or let's have
50. So, has anyone responded?
Sure.
So
nobody's given me anything yet.
Nothing?
No. Uh-huh. A lot of people have said, I'm going to work on this, I'm going to take a look at it.
How many people said that's already been done? Which is what people always tell me every
nobody.
Time.
Nobody. No.
No?
Well, because nobody told me that, because I acknowledge that. And because if they were to tell me that, I would be the one that they were telling me had done it. So it would be kind of a moot point.
Yeah.
Plus, I also, you know, edit the comments. I don't let every comment come through. So the people who are, you know, like, just sort of dump on you don't tend to comment in my blog anymore.
Right.
Because they know nobody will ever see it. So why bother, right? So, you know, that's a whole other subject.
So how are you going to get some solutions flowing in here? You're just hoping...
Well, I'm talking about it here. So
Now
you see what... And you know, following through on the theory or the philosophy that, I mean, here we are on a podcast.
Yeah.
We have a much smaller group of people listening to us now,
but
I believe.
They're dedicated.
That, right. Well, if they made it this far, what are we, 28 minutes into the podcast? If they're listening now.
They're lifers.
Well, at least they're 28-minuters. They've put in 27 minutes to get this far, so so they're interested. And if they know a designer, you know.
Don't you have a young designer working on your blog?
Supposedly. I haven't seen any results yet. And that's not to say I won't see them. I haven't seen them yet. So this is the same young person who did your design, lovely design on your blog. Very attractive.
And
made me think I would love to have that on mine. Not exactly, of course, what you have. Right?
Similar level of skill.
Sensibility.
Yeah, sensibility, right.
Plus, I have a broader agenda, is that whatever she produces for me, I will then package up and show other people how to use.
There you go.
So she can have, while she's had, no doubt, very large impact by doing the design of your site, I can, like, maybe up that by an order of magnitude.
Go for it.
This is the other reason why I did this one, is that I not just like them, I love collaborations between designers and programmers. It's very important that we build those bridges.
Totally.
And so I've had some great experiences with that, you know, in the when I was working on radio in Manila, these early blogging tools, we had a whole community of designers that were contributing themes and templates that we then distributed, and, you know, it was a win-win. They got a link in every design that they did, it linked back to whatever it was they wanted to link to. So it got them a lot of links, a lot of, you know, juice in Google.
Right.
And business, you know, because if people wanted custom designs, they became well-known designers, at least some of them did. And
speaking of design, good segue into Tumblr.
Tumblr, yeah. Oh, my God. What a story.
What is going on here?
Well, they raised a lot of money.
$25 million.
Well, that wasn't actually announced. Let's be clear.
It wasn't?
That was a rumor, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't actually announced, okay. But it also wasn't denied.
Yeah.
So it's kind of right there in there.
In the ballpark.
It's, nobody said it was out of the ballpark.
So right. So what is going on here?
Well, I think that it's a good investment, actually. I think Tumblr, you know, and the market cap for that, the valuation was at $150 million or something mm-hmm. like that. You know, well, you know, if...
That's modest. It's not huge.
That's right. Yeah. If Twitter is worth $3 billion, it seems reasonable that Tumblr is worth $150 million. You know, and, well, what this means is, and then at the same time, Foursquare raised the similar amount of money. They're also a New York-based,
right.
You know, online tool company. And
Punch had a big split. You saw that.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
Right. So, and Google just announced, this was also a rumor that they're buying $2 billion worth of Manhattan real estate in Chelsea.
Yeah.
A huge, absolutely huge office building. Well, what are they going to do with that office building but put more programmers in there, right?
Well, what is Tumblr going to do with $25 million?
They're going to hire people. That's
to do what?
To write software, to maintain, keep their servers running. That's what they do, and buy more servers. You know? Yeah, no, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, seems
how do you spend money. That much money?
How do you spend it?
Yeah.
I would love to know what the
well,
what
it's people. It's always people. That's
yeah,
what these things
of
are
course.
For. Right. But programmers don't cost $1 million a piece. So at least not yet.
Right.
But I don't know.
They're gonna, how are we going to get more programmers in the pipeline?
Well, that's the thing, is that this could be very bad news for the publishing industry here in New York. It's not, the first question is how we're going to get, isn't how we're going to get more programmers, because that takes a while, right?
Right.
But no, is where are the programmers going to come from that Tumblr's going to hire?
Right.
And the answer is, well, we know where one of them's going to come from. They hired Derek Gottfried from the New
yeah,
York Times.
Exactly.
To be their director of
a
product.
A key person over there at the New York Times, I'm told.
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't know if he is or he isn't. We don't have any idea, to be honest with you, how key he is.
Okay.
And we do know, however, that they believe he will be key at Tumblr. They've
yeah.
given him an incredible title.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a lot of responsibility there. He's the guy that's going to, I guess, innovate, drive the innovation in the development of the future of Tumblr. But
I'd love to get somebody from Tumblr on this show.
Yeah, I've tried, actually. I have tried. I tried to get Marco. Maybe we could.
If you're listening, Tumblr.
Yeah, well, we don't want just anyone from Tumblr, right?
No.
Right. Carp, David Carp. Would
we
be
want
good
Carp,
there.
Yeah.
Or they have a new COO there who's a good guy. But, yeah, probably would be a good idea. But so if you're like, you know, some media company in New York,
mm-hmm.
you employ a certain number of programmers, they're going to go, oh, this will also WordPress is hiring people in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a sense that now we need to be in New York. And so the competition for New York programmers is
yeah.
way up. And
right.
not so the question is, these guys at the media companies better decide what they want to do, you know. If they want to be big in technology, they should have some plans in place right now that are keeping these guys excited. Maybe some stock options. I mean, that's, of course, the big problem. It's like, you know,
yeah.
now you have also, by the way, got Google paying programmers there. One guy, $6 million
I know.
To not take a job at Facebook.
Well, who wants Newsweek stock?
Nobody wants Newsweek stock, Jay.
You know, that's not going to happen.
That's kind of a problem there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to
or
know
even,
what,
or even News Corp, you know, Murdoch's empire.
Well,
nobody wants that.
Right, right. So maybe they've already lost.
By the way, here's my all-purpose slide rule calculation interpretive Rosetta Stone for any moves that Murdoch and his empire make. It's about showing the world that the emperor still has his mojo.
Well,
that's the only possible interpretation that makes sense of everything they're doing.
Have they not done anything that worked recently?
Are you following the news of the London Times paywall?
Yeah. I didn't say, have they done anything that didn't work? I asked, have they done anything that worked?
Have they done anything that worked? Mm-hmm. Not that I have seen.
You don't believe this iPad thing that they're going to do now?
No,
I
don't.
You don't buy into that one?
No. What I think it is, this is just a guess. We have to wait until the product is out. But based on sketchy early reports, it is an attempt to prove that you can win without the web.
Right.
That you can isolate yourself from the rest of the web and make money. And Murdoch has an investment in that idea. I would put the word idea in quotes.
Well, Steve Jobs has an investment in that one, too, that idea. Mm-hmm. Not just in the context of what Murdoch is doing, but overall.
Right.
And Jobs is winning that bet.
Yes.
Right. I mean, he's making a lot of money. Can't argue with that.
But Jobs is a modernist genius, and nobody at News Corp is.
But Rupert Murdoch thinks he is.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is you can understand News Corp as an attempt to prove Murdoch right. That's the way in which their move.
But he is right at some things. I mean, your whole thing about Fox News being the irritant that drives people crazy, you know.
Yeah, well, he was right about the NFL, too. You know, his moves with the NFL were fascinating. Back when he was building Fox, the NFL contract came up, you know, comes up every once in a while, and they have to renegotiate with the leagues, right, with the leagues and the networks. And he bid, like, I don't remember the numbers, but like twice as much as what NBC and CBS were proposing to pay for NFL games. And the reason was they were worth a lot more to him, right? He was trying to build a fourth network.
Right.
And so if you have NFL football, there's no way every cable operator in the country can avoid running your stations.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a fourth network.
It built distribution for him.
Yeah, it built everything. The entire success of Fox was built on that. So he's a genius, yes, for a media world that was. And they're trying to prove him a genius for the media world that is now.
Right.
And that's the problem.
And you have MySpace sitting there
proving
that the maybe opposite. The emperor doesn't have any clothes.
Exactly. and layer on top of that, a succession drama that nobody knows yet how that's going to play out. And you have people looking forward to the day when the emperor is gone and trying to show that they're the true heir, you know, and proving how loyal they are to the founder's vision by making these various moves that follow from conclusions Murdoch himself has made. Mm. Anyway, that's my...
How old is Murdoch?
80-something.
Pretty old.
He's getting on.
Yeah, I can say that because I'm nowhere near that.
Yeah. Well, what's Dave? I got a question for you. What's this love affair you've got going with Hacker News? What's that about?
Well, is it a love affair? I mean,
Wait a minute. I read scripting news. Let me tell you what it says.
I heart Hacker News. Well, what would you have
That's
me say?
That's a Valentine.
What would you have me say? I mean...
No, let's just explain
I
what
do.
You mean.
I do
explain
heart.
Explain what you mean.
I mean that I'm looking for... I'm always looking for sources of news. I mean, not just... I mean, first and foremost for me personally, because I'm a... like intravenous news junkie. I like it, you know, fast. I like lots of it. Mm-hmm. To me, there's no such thing as too much news, right? And so, you know, you look at something like Hacker News, and it is truly... Well, for one thing, we just cracked something. You know, they have an RSS feed, an official RSS feed at Hacker News, but it's slow. It doesn't have a lot of news in it. It has the news that has made it to the front page of Hacker News, and they have an algorithm for that, which involves the number of times it's been voted up and how recent it is. So things tend to fall off the bottom. Even if something had a million a million votes up, it would eventually fall off the bottom because over time, the time weight becomes heavier and heavier and heavier in their formula. Mm-hmm. So the new things tend to percolate up, mm-hmm. and the old things tend to drop down.
Right.
Which is kind of, you know, it's what you want, right? It's news, after right. all. And so
after
that
news is Reddit for tech. We should say that.
Right. Now, how do they pull that off, though? That's the question. It was like, you know, so then they have, okay, so then there's the new page, the Hacker News / new.
Right.
And that is, like, very high velocity. There's always, like, you know, every hour there's, like, maybe 100. In prime time, there's maybe 100 new stories submitted there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was confused. I had always been looking for a feed for that, but I couldn't find it. And I never had enough time to actually focus on it to actually, you know, determine if it actually existed and I wasn't finding it or if it... So I did eventually get enough time and I looked and I found it doesn't exist. So then I went poking around to see if there was any way to synthesize it, and I found a guy who had an API for Hacker News. They don't have an official API, but this guy set up a scraper and he's scraping the HTML and he's put together a beautiful API that is both XML and JSON, and you know, it's very simple, and it does the job. It has everything in it, and so I just wrote a little translator. It took me about, you know, a couple of hours really, that I have had running for the last few weeks that converts his flow into RSS. I plug it into everything I've got, and I made it a real-time feed so that I get it shows up in my world, in my aggregator, whenever there's an update. And what I love about it, why I love it, I mean, love affair is strong. I love it. Why? Because it meets every need that I have, almost every need that I have in terms of news. It, first of all, it's much higher volume than anything else I have, higher than the New York Times, you know. What else do I have that's even in the ballpark? I mean, the Times news feed is very fast, but this is like maybe an order of magnitude faster.
Mm-hmm.
There's no spam in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do that. You know, you might say, well, there's some sort of an acceptance filter in there, but I don't believe there is. When I submit a story to Hacker News, it goes right into the feed. I see it on my feed a minute later.
Must have something to do with the community, then.
I think so. And that's to me, is the miracle.
Yeah.
Now, I do know, when I wrote that piece, I did get told that they do have human filters in there, but mm-hmm. they are after-the-fact filters.
Uh-huh.
So if something shows up there that is, you know, obviously unacceptable, they
right.
take it off.
Right.
But I'll tell you, Jay, I haven't seen anything in the feed, and I would if... Before they get filtered out, I've not seen anything that
maybe it's what you said about your comment thread. People know it's going to get taken out. So
right, exactly. That, there you go. Now, the only thing that I am missing, and it is a very serious thing that's missing, no descriptions. So you get headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Headlines with links,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. But we don't get the descriptions. So, you know, and I have some people that are using this, and I've been hearing from them. And these are people that are not like hackers. These are news people.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that work in large news organizations that are just using it as I'm using it
right.
for access to news.
You know what I find interesting about this?
Well, let me just finish that thought. Is
yeah.
that is that headlines enough or not? Headlines alone are not enough.
Uh-huh.
The descriptions they. There are very few headlines that everybody
seconds.
Would click on. If they didn't have the description.
Right. I agree with that. Headline and description is essential.
It's pretty important. Yeah. I will click on them, though, Jay. So for me, I will click on them.
Yeah.
But I'm an unusual guy.
Right.
Yeah.
What I like about what you're saying is that it kind of goes the opposite way from what you hear constantly of that we are overloaded with too much information and too much news. What you're sort of saying is...
60 seconds.
I would... want more news, more if, real news.
And the answer,
more
yes.
news.
If you work on the user interface, you don't have the problem.
Yes.
A lot of people who are not like user, and are not software experts, don't understand that the problem isn't that there's too much. The right. problem is that the UI that you're using is not designed for high volume,
right.
and therefore you hit the limit sooner.
As Clay Shirky said, there's no such thing as information overload. There's only filter failure. That's a good line.
Well, no, actually, no. We don't agree with that one. We were just talking about that. No, he's selling Zuckerberg's idea.
No, he isn't.
Sure, he is. He's talking about filters.
Yeah, but he's not in favor of opaque filters.
Okay. I would say it differently. We are really running out of time here.
Yeah.
Is that it's not that there's information overload. It's that we got crappy UI. Okay, Jay. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.